Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. You know, we live in some of the most trying, challenging times that have been on Earth in the history of mankind. Between the things we were talking on our pre-call here about the potential disaster concerns, and then those that are trying to kill off the people anyhow, you add that into the mix, and how close are we into the end times? Well, basically, we've been in end times for quite a while. It's just we don't know what the end times truly means. What is the timing? How are things going to work? And we start looking at the things that God said he has to do, and there's still some major prophetic words that have to be fulfilled from out of the scriptures and those that are being said by the prophets. So we're in times that are shaking. I mean, it's shaking the world, shaking the universe, shaking everything. So, you know, we have to recognize that in the midst of everything, we're not in control. God is. And because of that, we have to see what he's saying and what's going on. I'm going to give you a quick update before I pray. This is just one of the words that came out today. Lana Bosser, I really love this gal. She's a hoot. Got to meet her. And she says, I heard the Lord say, expect explosive fruitfulness from the harvest of grounds. I'm going to tell you what. We have been this month battling some of the hardest ground. If you had to get out with a plow, you'd have to have a bulldozer to dig in. And I'm talking about people's hearts. I'm talking about the nations, the laws, everything's going on. So when you hear that it's a time of season, a time of harvest. Well, the harvest, a lot of times you have to plow. If you're going to harvest potatoes, you got to dig them up. Same thing with peanuts, lots of other crops. And the earth gets hard, and it doesn't want to produce, so therefore you've always got to be plowing it up in between. You got to water it. You got to fertilize it. You got to use things that are going to break it loose. And the Lord says, there's a whole lot of things going on underground. Well, underground is where your minerals are. Now, there's some horse people on this call tonight, men and women that have horses or love them. And there's one thing that there's different plants. Now, I'll give you a perfect example, alfalfa. Alfalfa is a great supplement in the hay, but you don't want to be on alfalfa all the time because the horse will ponder. I mean, he'll just get blowed up like a toad and get sick and lay down. Because it has so many minerals in it, and minerals create gas, okay? So standard hay with a little bit of alfalfa is pretty good because those minerals are good for the system. It does clean you out, and the horse is going to get cleaned out. But it's the same thing with humans. So I'm going to go back to alfalfa. Alfalfa root, the enzymes in alfalfa produce some of the best natural enzymes for healing that mankind has. You take that and one other enzyme from another root, and you have a cancer cure that will knock out 98% of cancers. Now, in the research facility I was dealing with got shut down because we were proving these things, how we could take nutrition from enzymes and destroy major portions of disease, and American Medical Association, the FDA, came after us. And shut us down, basically. They fined us and did everything they could to stop the progress that we were making. So when I read things about what's under the ground, and alfalfa, let's take hay. Hay will go down about 8 to 10 inches, the roots. Alfalfa will go 40, 50 feet. If it senses water from below, it's going to go down until it gets to the water. It's one of the most unusual plants out there, and it's going to pull the nutrients out of the soil. So a lot of alfalfa fields, what you do is you don't harvest it all, you till it in, because it's pulled those nutrients up from real deep, and now they're in the upper areas of that alfalfa, so you don't want to use it, you till it. And that's used to reestablish the minerals and nutrients in the soil. So you know God does the same thing with people. The Lord gave Lana an insight about what takes place underground and how the Lord toils and builds faith and declarations and obedience and foundations and shakes things. There's always a rumbling going on. And the enemy always wants to steal the seed, so the seed is put into hard ground. Once it gets soft and dug up, and then it gets hard, but the seed will push right through. The seed will break through. A plant can split a rock. I've seen it many times in the mountains and stuff. So God says he digs up that ground, and the seed comes through, and the enemy's always trying to take the seed, the word of God, and dig it out of the hearts of people. And so often, the hard ground that is so hard is the hearts of men and women. He says if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say, which has very strong roots, be pulled up and cast into the sea, and it would do it. It would obey you. Francis and I were listening to several people, Robin Bullock and others today on Elijah Stream Ministries, and one of the things that was being talked about was the heart of man, and how the enemy's come to dig out from the heart of man through trials, tribulations, challenges, frustrations, anxiety, that all the things of the world that are there against you, the enemy's coming to steal the seed, steal the root. Francis just brought me a prophetic word. And what God wants to do is make sure that root goes deep enough. So tonight we're going to be talking about several things. We're going to talk about the perfect storm. We're going to talk about the challenges. We're going to talk about Job. We're going to talk about everything that the enemy's throwing at you and what God is saying we can do about it. Now, several people on the call, I muted you because of a little bit of background noise. I'm going to unmute several of you and you mute yourself so you can come on when I call upon you. So don't be offended. I just had to do that because of the recording. So now you can mute yourself if you would like to. We're at a time in a season where God is saying there's a shift going on. There's a shift going on, and many people are not prepared because they haven't prepared their hearts. They've not plowed the ground. They've not made the soil prepared by the Word of God, put in the fertilizer, put in that which is going to cause the seed to take root and grow. And we're going through challenging times. And I'll be honest with you, I've had plenty of those challenges. Frustrations. I mean, you can get angry at the world, at the enemy, for everything that's going on. And you go, well, Lord, I need to know. I went to him this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't know what to pray, so I started praying in spirit. And then I prayed some other things. I prayed like David prayed. I encouraged myself in the Lord because I was a little frustrated from things that went on last night, things that I had, phone calls and things I had to deal with. And I said, okay, Lord, I just need to see your love. And he got me up at 2:04. And I'm not real big on checking the scripture based on time, but I said, okay, we're going to check it. And Jim and I were talking about this earlier. And he gave me Ephesians 2:4 because I was talking to him about his love. But God's so rich in his mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love in which he loved us. I went, okay, that's a good one. Well, then I went back to bed at 3:05, and that's out of 3 verse 5. The mystery was never disclosed to human beings in the past generations. It has now been revealed by his Holy Spirit to the prophets, the consecrated messengers, by the Holy Spirit. Well, it also reads in another translation, to those that have Holy Spirit. And God is saying, in the challenges, in all the things that are going on, in the trials and tribulations, in the process, word I hate, Connie and I were laughing about that earlier, he is perfecting us. He's getting us to that point and ready to go where we will tie into that which the Lord is saying and grow. Our roots are going to go deep. The enemy's not going to be able to shake us loose. The Lord is shaking everything, but guess what? Our roots are so deep, they can't be shaken. So the mountains around us, that which is coming, the storm that's coming, everything that is battling us, it's not going to affect us because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is watching over us and keeping us. And he's preparing us to go forward. So, Lord, I call upon you in the name of Yeshua. I call upon you in the name above all names. And I ask right now that you would pour out a fresh anointing Let the love that you have for us be manifest in your glory, and let the light of your glory shine forth. So the light of your glory is manifest through your love. Pour out your Spirit. Anoint us afresh. Fall upon us new. Literally, baptize us with the fire of your glory. And let your light shine in us and through us, that no one can deny that the light of your glory, the love of the Lord, is shining through us, and you're going to use us in these times. It doesn't make any difference if the volcanoes break loose, if the faults break, if the governments fall. It doesn't make any difference if we're rooted in you and grounded by a deep root in your love. So Holy Spirit, fall afresh and new on every man and woman that has ears to hear, that is on this call or that will be on this call. And let your glory come. Let your glory be manifest tonight. Lord, we're going to cover some tough things, but at the same time, we're going to do it in your glory and the light of your glory and your love. And I ask this in the precious name of Yeshua, by the blood of Yeshua, and let the shofar sound to the glory and the light of the Lord. Glory, glory. I had a plan for tonight, but those that I had planned on calling on have not been able to make it for one reason or another. But I'm going to go on with that plan because I believe that's what the Lord gave me. I talk to a good portion of everybody that's on this call regularly. And the challenges that we're all are facing right now are insurmountable. I mean, they're just over the top. But in it, there's some testimonies. Now, I used to do this at church on Thursday nights because we'd have prayer on Thursday nights, and then we'd pull it into Sunday morning, and I'm a little bit of a cut-up. But I would start off and say, tonight we're going to have a testimony night. Is anybody got a testimony for the Lord tonight? Does anybody have a testimony? Now, I'm going to pick on a couple of you because I know you got something that's going on right now. And I'm going to ask James Gregory, have you got a testimony for the Lord tonight, Pastor Gregory?
Man, I tell you what, you pick the low-hanging fruit all the time. I have an incredible testimony. Over the last couple of weeks, Daddy has begun to show me some things related to moving from a plane, as I said maybe last Monday night, of being expectant to operational. And he's continuing to perfect that understanding to the point that, we had a phone call today, Wade and I, and, I mean, it was dynamic, the understanding that Daddy began to bring to us, to the point that he began to call some things out, and immediately Daddy said, Ephesians this, Ephesians that. Boom, we looked at it, and it lined up perfectly. I don't know quite how to – thankful and grateful does not seem to fit the bill for understanding where we're at this time. In the midst of, as you've already declared, Wade, our frustrations, various – physical challenges that we've all had, one thing has become more constant, and that's the one thing that is still the same, is that we are in absolute sovereign dominion and authority with our Father seated in heavenly places. And even though it's easy for us to, you know, we're not going to go back on his word, we're not going to go back and, you know, go back to our previous life, that type of thing, the reality of it is, as we sit on this prayer call tonight at this ordained moment that was known before creation even started, this moment right here, 7:45 Central Standard Time in the U.S. on September 27th, one thing that is more crystal clear at this very second is the position that Daddy has placed us in right next to him, listening to his heartbeat, leaning into him, and knowing, even if what's in our hands doesn't seem to match up, there's just something in our spirit that's a resilient and a resolve of knowing that we are right at the cusp in the moment of what we have all were born, created. Many of us have heard the expression, you know, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me, all those type of things. And all that's true, but to think before Daddy began to sit down in his architectural draft room of creation where he began to spin everything out and this is what it's going to look like, right now at this moment, he knew we would be in his presence together and being asked to expound and express our gratefulness and our thankfulness to him. And I'm thankful more so than anything that he has let me know in my mind and my heart the things that I've just told you as absolute. I grew up in the church, cut my teeth on the pew, I was the pastor's grandson, all those good things, all that's well-meaning. My kids serve the Lord. My wife serves the Lord. All that's great and fantastic. But before all that is great and fantastic, right now, my daddy, he's holding my hand. He's letting me lean on him. He's his ear is tuned to what I'm saying right now. He's so tangible and so real right now that I can reach out and just that which we know is spirit only, we could reach out and just almost just touch him and feel his love for us. And so that's my testimony tonight, Wade. I know more of my Heavenly Father today. I know that I am 100% he's orchestrated and ordained all of our meetings and walking together. You can't make any of the stuff up that we have experienced.
Yeah.
And so I'm operational. I look to the future, but I'm walking hand in hand with my daddy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb for, as they would say, sinner slain, but the creator of all things, past, present, and future. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead and bodily. By him was everything made. Wasn't anything made that was made but by him. And that light, that thing that made everything was the light of men, the life of men. And so it is clearly articulated in Scripture that he is going to exercise his plans for this earth and this creation through us. And I'm ever thankful for that tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Powerful. Good word. April, I haven't got a chance to ever call up on you. Now I get a chance to. And there's been a bunch going on in your life. I mean, starting a month ago. But I know there's things happened this week. Have you got something you'd like to share as a testimony to encourage people tonight?
Yes. The very first one I think I want to share and is about my sister. Long story short, 27 years of her living out in the world. And when I say living out in the world, living on the streets, at times being homeless. We put out missing person reports on her, I don't know how many times. Work in the streets, drugs, the whole nine yards. She's died, I don't know how many times, or almost died, I should say, pardon me, how many times. And just within, I had an assignment that I had to go to do, was sent to in Alberta, and it was about a week. And we've always been close in that, and I asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, do you want me to invite her? And he said, well, just ask. And I didn't, I shouldn't say I didn't have faith, but I've been praying, but being burned a few times, more than a few times, I didn't expect a yes, but I got a yes. Long story short, she had been drinking the night before, but I said to her, look, on this trip, this is what I believe God is going to start teaching you how to do what you're supposed to do. And he's going to fill you up with the Holy Spirit, and he's just going to change things for you. And she was like, okay. So within the 5 days, really, that we were gone doing what the Holy Spirit told us to do, he completely detoxed her. She was hungover the very first day, but she was a trooper and said, okay, I want to do what God wants me to do. And he completely detoxed her, completely broke the desire for meth, for alcohol. And now, and I'm talking, she did this every day. So this wasn't like just something, oh, you know, premium party. It was every day. And he broke that. And last week Wednesday was quote unquote check day for people downtown Vancouver East Side. She lives on Hastings Street. And it was gone. Like, I called her, actually she called me every morning just to say, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, good. She said, well, I've been up early. God told me I'd get up early, and I've done my communion every day now, and I'm feeling good. And I said, so I didn't say nothing about Wednesday, just wanted to see how that went. And she just said to me, you know what, I'm not even worried about today or tomorrow, because God just has totally shattered that thing, and I have no desire for it anymore. And then he, on this trip on the way back, actually, right getting close home, he gave her her power tongue, is what I call it. She speaks like I do. And she has this incredible gift of prophetic and hears God on things that where I've been schooled a lot, learned a lot, but she's got another portion which just complements what I'm able to do. And I just have been, I just can't thank God enough for that. I can't thank God enough for that. And we gave that testimony over at a little church that ministers to the downtown east side in Vancouver here on the streets. And we told them that just a couple nights ago. And they were just overjoyed also because they've seen her go by and things like that. But not knowing that these prayers have changed her life 100%. So that's the very biggest testimony for me.
Wow.
And just even, you know, this week what God has, I don't know Jewish customs very well. I haven't learned that part yet. I know that I hear God, and so I just do what God says. And so he's enabled me to walk this week in particular in actions, prophetic actions, I guess it would be, that he's spoken to regarding the church leadership that I'm a part of here, for the church leadership, and just have God completely move amazingly in their life, just amazingly in the spirit realm. And it's just been incredible how that has happened. I am going to say we also prayed. I mean, I'm not talking about just me now. There was a group, or our group, our Wednesday group, we prayed regarding something last week. And this week, God took down a large principality on the West Coast here, which is just huge. It's huge. And I say, God, like, thank you, because that's the area where that came down, was where God first led me to do a repentance for the Americas back in April. And so, yeah, my heart is just overwhelmed and full of gratitude and just in awe of God's goodness.
Yes, praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. And sometime we'll talk about it. The last church I had, We had a men's home and a women's home, and we dealt with taking them off the street and out of prison, getting them back on their feet and jobs. And what a blessing that your sister has stepped forward. And we're going to continue to be in prayer with you that that is permanent and that there's no change.
Yep.
Glory, glory. Thank you so much. Now, I was going to call on a couple more people, but Francis has been watching. Like I said, tonight's going to be different. Francis was watching Robin Bullock, and she got all excited. I was doing other things, getting prepared for tonight, and I watched part of it. But she wants to share some of the prophetic word that came out at the end of the call, the end of the show, ministry,
Elijah
streams. It was the last 10 minutes, and there was a couple prophetic words that came out, and I want you all to hear them because lots of folks are discouraged at what's going on in the political realm and everything. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying through one of the premier prophets today, Robin Bullock, and here's Francis.
Okay, this was given this morning on Elijah streams, and the Lord woke Robin up early this morning and gave him this word for Trump. It says, Joe Biden is a Bible fool. Donald J. Trump, do not listen to your advisors, for they tell you to wait. But your time is running close now. Don't be afraid of riots and turmoil in the streets, for they will happen regardless. Joe Biden be damned for what he has done. Those pulling his strings seek to set themselves up. I will pound them into the ground until they are dust. I never intended this country to be party ruled as it is now. Move quickly, says the Lord. Those advisors around you say, don't listen to the prophets this time. But they have their own agenda, and it does not include you. I have placed on your shoulders Israel and the United States, but I have also placed on you a mantle to bear such weight. I, the Almighty, have brought you this word by my prophet. It is not time to deal with head games. Hit it straight on now, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Move now. And then that was for Donald Trump. And then at the end of the program, he had this other prophetic word. I'm going to honor and fulfill my promises concerning the nation Israel. Those jackals in the north and here in D.C. plan on doing away with my nation Israel. Be damned, those who will try. Know this is no force from hell will come upon this earth and destroy my nations. I will drag them by their ankles from their office of political power. My prophets are on the scene, and I have more prophets. Netanyahu is a prophet. Giuliani is a prophet. And I have placed the mantle of the king on Cyrus Trump. I breathe upon this whole situation, and Israel will flourish, and America will nourish. My people will now fight like never before, and they will be like shamas. They will be like those whose hands clung to the sword, for they will defend my territory against principalities and powers, says the Lord.
Wow. Wow, wow. You know, the word came out and it came out Wednesday, so those of you that were that received the emails from Steve and Greg got this, and then I picked it up, and I've researched it since, and said there's a perfect storm coming in the Seven Mountain Takeover. And God spoke to this prophet, Ben Peters, and said, literally, there's going to be a convergence in heaven and earth, and everything's prepared. There's a perfect storm coming, overpowering, and it's going to obliterate the results of the current perfect storm that the enemy's planned. My storm will involve both what happens on the ground and what happens in the heavenly realm. Isaiah 64:1-3 says, was the chief spiritual inspiration for this word was the chief inspiration for this word God gave her, gave him. What would you do? Rend the heavens? That you would come down. The mountains will shake at your presence as the fire burns brushwood and fires cause water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, the nations may tremble with your presence. When you did awesome things for that which you did not look to do, you came down, which I did not look to do, you to do. Forgive me. You came down and the mountains shook with your presence. You know, we were talking about seven mountains on the Wednesday call, and Sharon and I have been talking about it also. And we took on quite a bit a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, we took on a little bit too much because of just exuberance. But God is saying he's getting ready to shake those seven mountains. And the seven mountains, if you're not familiar with them, are family, religion, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, and business. And God's saying there's going to be testimonies out of this. There's going to be things happen that are going to happen so quickly that it's going to change the world, not nations, not a nation, the world. And the fivefold ministry are going to impact all seven mountains. Now, we are part of the fivefold ministry. The Canadian church is part of the fivefold ministry. We all press into that. And many people are going to come and say, come and see and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, to experience his presence. God is calling for many to come up in these latter days. You know, you've heard me talk about this. God is calling. He said, everybody that wants to, that has the Holy Spirit, come up, and I'll show you things you did not know. He will teach us his ways, okay, with the teacher's anointing. He says, Holy Spirit will be your teacher. They'll no longer be in need of teachers. They're going to be here on earth until the fullness, but he's willing to teach you. And we will walk in his paths. So it's going to be paths of righteousness. He's going to guide us and provide us and protect us. He's going to bring forth the law, okay, the government. The administration of the law and the government is going to shift swiftly change because he's bringing about those leaders that are going to be put into those offices. And he's doing it quickly. And he says the prophets will speak more powerful words than ever before to help bring about the shaking and the waking. So it's time to realize that all this is getting ready to take place, and the whole culture of the world is going to be shifted. There's a great awakening and shaking that's going to come into America right now and Canada. And he says, when America was young, especially for the great awakening, God's people ruled all of these mountains by God's rule, by his plan. And he says, once again, it's going to happen. There's going to be a great convergence of heaven and earth. And there's going to be a manifestation and shaking. Everything can be shaken. And all these mountains are going to be shaken. And all those that ran the governments of these areas are going to run. And God's going to put his righteous people in those places. So there's getting ready to be signs, wonders, and miracles. There's getting ready to be the word of God, like Francis just said through the prophets. There's going to be those that our loved ones are going to be coming in. And they're going to be set free. Signs, wonders, and miracles are already starting to take place. And God is moving. He's moving in such a way that it's causing joy to break out amongst the people. A freshness, a fresh fire, a freshness that we did not know is being released for everybody that will seek after it. Now, I've asked John to do what he's got next and to bring a song of praise because he said Judah goes first. Every time, Judah goes first. Judah means praise. So I know that Sharon last week talked about it several times on several different calls. We're going to have to get into an attitude of praise and worship and thanksgiving. Now, not everybody's going to be a singer. Not everybody's going to play an instrument. Not everybody's going to do these things. But you give the word back unto the Lord in praise. You thank him for it. You praise him for it. You walk in with an attitude of praise in the midst of our troubles. And believe me, I have been in some serious situations, and I've had to pray my way through them. And God's saying right now, come forth with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. Come as Judah would come and watch the enemy scatter. John Rockwell.
Well, thank you, Wade, and good evening, everybody. If you suddenly hear a bunch of noise, my granddaughter's been trying to get in the room that I'm in for quite a while. She is always a curious type of thing, so hopefully she'll not break in while I'm in the middle of doing what I'm going to be doing, which will be rather short tonight. But just know that she's out there wanting to get in where I'm at. So anyway, a lot of words that came to me over the past week talk about the bride. And, of course, Wade's been talking about the bride, about that on our call since its inception, basically. So I just thought that a lot of these were probably pretty appropriate for what we are experiencing now. And so the Radiant Bride and her beautiful heart is being exposed and coming to light. And you can come away with me to our secret place. This is God talking to you, his bride. This is a secret place where I will share my secrets with you. And I think that is definitely what we need now. We need to have those particular words come forth. And the warrior bride, you're armed with weapons that are unstoppable. And I think that's kind of what Francis was talking about in the very beginning, of what some of the prophets were saying, Robin Bullock, et cetera. And a warrior bride won't back down. In other words, we got to continue to stand firm. And this kind of struck me really importantly. It says that I will take the muzzle from front off of your mouth and lift your hands and receive a fresh impartation and boldness from the Holy Spirit. And there's a new path before you that leads to houses of glory of God, and judgment and restoration are occurring simultaneously. In other words, they're happening together, which I think is rather cool as well. A lot of things we don't see with our eyes, but they're definitely happening in the spirit. And like I said, I was going to kind of cut my piece off short just because of where I'm at, but Wade wanted me to bring a praise and worship song for tonight, and a song that actually back in the early 90s, I got an artist, his name is Avery Stafford, and I put him into my recording studio that I had at that time and recorded this particular praise and worship song.
Praise Jehovah, praise his name, he is Lord Most High, all nations proclaim. Praise Jehovah, praise his name, he is Lord of all the earth. Oh, praise his name.
amens of that. There's just something about the voice that by itself that creates resonance, almost like the shofar does. But it's what I kind of grew up on, and that go back to hearing things that are a cappella, and definitely brings back some memories for me. I'll go ahead and yield with that, Wade.
Thank you, John. You know, John said something that's very important, finding that secret place. And the best place I can tell you that as a secret place is come up and see him. Come up to him. He's got an open heaven available for anybody that is his, and through prayer and some direction, going into that open heaven, asking him to open it up and have a vision, have a word of knowledge, have a direction, is available to those that will seek him. So I can't think of a better secret place than there. I've asked Steve to bring a word tonight, and he's not going to bring it 100%. He's going to comment on it and what God's saying, and it ties in perfectly where we are. I don't know anybody that's not going through some things right now. Family, loved ones, health, finances. We're all being challenged, but you know what? God makes a way. Even to Job, he made a way. Steve Lupstra.
Thank you, Wade. Good evening, everybody. It's always such a privilege to be able to be here with you, and especially to be able to share. And a few weeks ago, I was on a call with a friend of mine, and we were talking about this subject of the life of Job. And some things came up, and the Lord just really spoke some things to me. And it was one of those things where I just felt like I wanted to share that with this group because of, as Wade said, so many that are part of this have been going through so many things lately, and I just felt like it fit. And as I began to try to put this together, it wouldn't be any surprise to you if I told you that three times my text disappeared while I was trying to write this piece. It was like the enemy sure didn't want me to get this put together, but it, by the grace of God, we got put together. And I want to talk about the life of Job, and just so many things have been written about Job and his life and his three friends and the interaction between Satan and God and all the things that are part of that. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the words in Ecclesiastes that says that there's no end to the writing of books, and there's nothing new under the sun. But at the same time, I believe that this is a timely message for us, and something that we and I need to pay attention to. So as I share this, I'm really sharing out of my own experience, out of my own desires, out of what God is speaking to me about. I want to do it in three parts. I want to talk a little bit about the life and character of Job. I want to talk about the activities that were taking place in the presence of Yahweh. And third, an observation that I hope will carry us through some difficult times that we're going through. I'm so glad to see Monty's on this call. All that he's gone through, and so many of you that have been struggling. You know, at the beginning of the book of Job, it's a very unique, interesting thing that we are told, because the first part of the chapter describes a man who God says, not just his peers, not the historians, but who God describes as blameless and upright. And as I read that this last time, I thought, well, that kind of leaves me out. Even my frustrations over writing this thing and all that was going on kind of excluded me from the category of being blameless and upright. And maybe sometimes you feel like that too. And yet, this is a man that God described this way. I would love for God. And through Jesus Christ, that is possible. In our being in Christ, he tells us that we are blameless and upright because of the blood of Yeshua. But first of all, who was Job? The Bible says that he was the son of Uz, or Uz. And many scholars, as I looked into this, many scholars believe that Uz is mentioned in Genesis 36:28, is likely the father of Job. He would have been the grandson of Seir, the Horite, or the Hivite, who gave the name of the region of Mount Seir, the region of the Edomites. You know, you go to Genesis 36:8 and look at that. The Jewish Roman scholar and historian Josephus mentions an Uz, son of Aram, who lived shortly after Noah's day, and that's in Genesis 10:23. So we're not really told a whole lot, but we know that Job came from a time when he didn't have any written scriptures. There were probably not many or if any written records. And so probably Job only had oral tradition that was passed down from his forefathers, maybe from some of the patriarchs. And it was just this oral tradition. But it was with this oral tradition that there was something different about Job. The effect of on his life set him apart from all the others of his generation, so that God mentions him above all the others on the earth. Can you imagine that? Here is this situation that we see in the heavenly realms. We're given a glimpse in the activities in the heavenlies. And most of the time when we think of this, we think of passages like Isaiah 6 and in Revelation that describe to us the majesties around the throne of God with the seraphim and the thunderings and the glory that surrounds the throne. Ezekiel that describes golden fire that appears, and it's like precious gems and brilliant light. And Revelation describes a place of constant worship and lightning and booming thunder. And so our thoughts go to those when we think of the throne room. But here in Job, we're given a little bit different picture. And I'm not sure what to make of it, but I'm taking it as something that I want to learn about. We get the idea that there was a gathering place or a place where the angelic beings would come and report to the Lord what was going on the earth. It's not that he didn't know, but here are the angelic spirits and the demonic spirits who are going out throughout all the earth, and they're bringing reports back to the Lord. And there was even a time in 1 Kings 22, if you recall this, where there seemed to be a discussion among this group about a strategy to entice Ahab. And so this seems to be a completely different scenario, or it might be in the midst of all of this, I'm not sure. But into this assembly, as the sons of God, the angelic hosts are gathering, we're told that Satan also came among them. In the New King James, it says it like this. And again, there was a day, again, so this was not an unusual thing. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself to the Lord. Wow, you know, we could spend a lot of time trying to work through that, but I want us to get what's going on here. Here are these angelic beings. I believe there's a mixture here. Satan is among them, and they're reporting what's going on the earth. You know, Satan has been described, as we know, in 1 Peter 5:8 as a kind of a prowling lion seeking whom he may devour on the earth, observing what's going on. And as this discussion is going on, and Satan is there, and who knows what he's trying to say to the Lord about what's going on in the earth, and almost as a test, The Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? What a report. God says about Job, there's none like him on the earth. Who doesn't sin, and who is righteous and upright. And Satan seemed to be aware of Job because he complains to the Lord that the Lord has put a hedge of protection around him. And that's what begins this process as Satan challenges the Lord and says, he doesn't serve you out of devotion or love. It's just because you protected him and you blessed him. If you take away his health and all these other things, he's going to curse you through your face. Now, we're all aware of what happens next, and there are some things I want us to remind us of. First of all, in this whole perspective, Satan has no power over you or in your life except that which is allowed him by God. And God defines the limitations. We see that three times here in the book of Job. God allows, but he makes restrictions. He puts limitations on what Satan can do to Job. And so we need to be careful. Let's not make Satan bigger than he is. Let's not make Satan more ferocious than he is. Peter says he is like a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a roaring lion. And let's keep that perspective. Satan does not have any power over you or your circumstances or your family except that which is allowed by God. And God himself defines the limitations of what can be done. The other thing I want you to notice in this passage, as you think about it, I want you to notice that in spite of all the suffering that Job was going through, in the midst of it all, the death of his family, his whole livelihood taken away, his health is taken away, boils on all over his body, in spite of the words of his wife, that she says, why don't you just curse God and die and get this all over with? So it was having an effect on her as well, but she did not have this character that Job had. And the testimony was that in all of this, all of these afflictions, all that was going on, even the lack of wise words sometimes with his three friends, who didn't really help at all, and they received that at the end. But despite all of this, Job did not sin. The scripture says he did not sin with what he said or with his words. Now, he certainly cried out to God, proclaiming his innocence, crying out to God for answers. But in all of this, the testimony is that he never sinned with his words. That is so important. It's so important for us to understand that the afflictions, and we need to guard our mouths. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all things, because out of it are the issues of life. And so Job's heart was still fixed on God, and he never sinned with his words, with what he said. Now, let me propose to you a thought that might be helpful for us as we're going through some of these kind of things. As I mentioned before, Job had only the oral traditions, probably, from God, about God, the testimonies passed on about God's creation of all that existed, of the Garden of Eden, probably the entrance and the price of sin, the rewards of righteousness. He was a believer in the character of this God that he was believing in. He believed that the character of God was only good and pure and holy. And it was that faith in the pure and holy character of God that gave him the strength to endure not only his own sufferings, but the proclamation of his wife and the idiocy sometimes of his friends and the attacks from his friends, who said that this has to be happening because he sinned and all these other things. In the midst of this, Job was focused and centered on his understanding of the character and the holiness and the purity of God. And that's what was getting him through all of this. So why did God, who knew Job and understood his character, who knew that he was good, who knew that he wasn't sinning with his words, why did God allow him to go through these terrible things? Maybe, just maybe, it's because there is something much deeper here that the Lord wants us to learn, wants me to learn, wants you to learn. Job was a man who knew God. We know that from chapter 1, from the character of God. He knew that. In chapter 42, Job's testimony was that he knew God could do everything. But when Job was confronted by God's questioning in chapters 38 to 41, and God says, "Where were you? Where were you? Do you think you know me? Where were you? How do you know this? Do you know where the snow is stored? Do you know this? Do you know that?" And God confronts him. And Job was confronted with whole dimensions of the character of God that he'd never been confronted with before. Dimensions that Job described as being, in chapter 42, verse 3, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. In the midst of this, God was revealing new parts of his character to Job. And Job's confession was, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, oral traditions, but now my eyes see you." It's one thing for us to know the Bible. It's another thing for us to be involved with all these things. It's one thing for us to be taught and even listen to the prophets. But there is absolutely no substitute. There is nothing that compares with our seeing him with our own eyes, with our experiencing him in his greatness, in his character, in his holiness. We have to, each one of us, have to have that kind of an experience, that kind of a confrontation with God. And perhaps, maybe, that's happening through the trials and difficulties that we're going through. What was happening with all of this? God is a God of relationship. The Trinity is the perfect relationship. God wanted relationship, and so he created man with whom he could have relationship. And because Adam was alone, God made Eve out of his side so that he could have a relationship, because he was made out in the character of God. God is a God of relationship. And he wanted Job to know him in a deeper and more intimate way. Not just what he heard, but now by what he had experienced, what he'd seen himself in the very depths of his being. Job's limited understanding of the character of God got him partly through the suffering he was enduring. But through these struggles and even the questioning that he did, he learned depths of the character of God that he could never have known if he had not gone through those trials. Lessons, the character of God, that his friends never learned because their hearts weren't open to that. They had their minds already made up. They already knew the truth. And so they weren't open to learn more of the God that they thought they knew so well. And so that gets about to me. It gets to us. We've talked a lot in these past weeks about lots of the struggles and the challenges and the trials and the physical and family spiritual difficulties that we've encountered. And I too believe that as part of the sifting and as part of the fact that we are coming to a crisis, a termination point where things are going to shift. But when I'm confronted with circumstances and trials that bring me to this very breaking point, you don't believe Job was at a breaking point? When I come to a breaking point in my life, do I know enough about the character of God that I will not sin against him by speaking against him? Am I willing to understand how precious it is to the Lord that he be able to share with me some of the most beautiful, multidimensional facets of his character that he wants to share with me, that he is willing to trust me with the pain and the suffering that it takes to teach me these characteristics? That's how precious it is to God that he wants us to know him better. And the scripture is full of that. We don't have time to go into that tonight. But the heart of God is for you and me to know him in a deeper, fuller, more beautiful, multi-dimensional way that we've never thought would be possible. And the way that usually happens is when, through the suffering that sheds away all those other things and leaves us open to see him in a new way. Wade's talked about that. How do we get to know him? We get to know him by coming to him and seeking him out and being coming up in his presence. And so I'm not making this a long time thing tonight. If you're going through something right now, and maybe you're feeling like Job, maybe you're feeling misunderstood, abandoned, suffering in innocence, are you willing to say with Job, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you? I pray that God would grant us the humility of Job to humble ourselves as he did in order to learn more of his magnificent character. So let me pray. Lord, we come before you and ask you to forgive us for any attitudes and any words that have come out of our hearts or our mouths that have not been righteous and pure and good, have not been built on the character of who you are. Lord, I pray for all those who are on this call, who are coming and listening later, that are going through difficulties and trials and tribulations in these days. I pray, Lord, for all of us, and I include myself in that, Father, that you would teach us by Holy Spirit to open our hearts to see you in a new way, to be willing to come before you and come up to you and learn more of your character, because everything you are is sufficient for whatever we're going through. Everything you are is sufficient for every part of the trial that we're suffering through. And on the other side, Lord, you want us to come through this with a greater understanding of who you are. So we pray that you'd do that in every heart, Lord, in each heart on this call, that you'd do that work in us, in me. And we ask this in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen. I yield back to you, Wade.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. You know, a word came out today. I reread through what Steve was going to bring, and I was thinking about all the challenges, the warfare that's been going on. And I know that I'm going to give you some of the things that I've actually experienced in my life. You say, oh, really? You? Oh, yeah. You know, and is it exactly lined up with what Job said? You know, you've been overlooked, passed over for promotions. You've been misjudged, ignored, rejected, devalued, and literally kicked out. I bet if there was a show of hands that I could see, I bet every one of us have gone through these things. It could be because of your family, the way you grew up, your economic situation, your walk with the Lord. Everybody, you know, said, oh, he'll never be anything. He'll never do anything. And I know that this word was particularly for me, but maybe some of you would get it. And it ties in so well with everything that's been said tonight. what I always have wanted was a place at the table. Now, you say, what do you mean a place at the table? A place to be heard, a place to be recognized, that I could contribute. it really hit home, and particularly after reading about Job and looking at all the warfare and the things that every day God would have me, you know, we are kings and priests, but I never meant to take on the role as a priest to be the confessor to the confessees would come and people would tell me things. And I'm talking about people in high and low places. I'm talking about not in the Republic, I'm talking about as high as governors and senators and people and that would have intel that would get you killed. And I said, Lord, why are you having these people give me this? Why do they come pour their hearts out? And he says, because they trust you. And I'm sitting there going, well, all I've wanted was a seat at your table. Well, recently he showed me something. Steve alluded to it about coming up, and I've said it before. He's given us a table. He's allowed us to see the table in the garden. And he allows us to come up to that. And you can actually sit down with him at that place, kick back and talk to him. And that's an open heaven. That's a vision, you know, open heaven, presence of the Lord. And it literally is, he says, I've got a place at my table for you. Now, many people call it the marriage supper of the Lamb, but you know, we're going to be able to feast with the Lord many, 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 many times for all eternity. And he's all the time. He loves to have what, you know, we call them parties down here. This party, well, his parties are fun. There's music and dance, and it's rejoicing and singing and the best food that can ever be had because it's heavenly food. So in pulling all these things together, we, in the midst of our trials and troubles, if we will turn our hearts to him, seek after him, ask him, I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and encourage myself in the Lord last night. And in that, he brought revelation and gave me peace, and I went back to bed. Now, there isn't anybody I know that does a better job than Matt at pulling things together, and he was on another prayer call. He does lots of prayer calls. He had another prayer call before us, and he's joined us tonight to pull things together. And Matt, if you're up to it, if you don't mind doing another communion at your end, I'd greatly appreciate it. If not, you can call one of us, and we'll do it. Matt Freezer.
Thanks, Wade. Yeah, you know, it is so true. There's such a storm that we're all facing, and as Steve was talking, it reminds me of a Hebrew word, Sarah, which talks about the storm. A lot of Israelis name their boys that, and it implies highly energetic masculine quality. You know, it's interesting, storms can be attributes. It really depends on where we are and how we're positioned in the midst of that storm. You know, Job had to learn a lot all through those chapters. He had to come face to face with the reality of the Father. I think it's true of all of us right now. He's positioning us to be something greater than we even can see in the natural because he's changing everything. I read this recently from Francis Sturgill. It said, speak, Father, the Son of Man will wait no longer. He's watched me with the futurists who said, tomorrow America will be great again. Our former leader is reinstated. He said, look all around you. All is falling apart from the foundation to the heavenly realm, and preparations are being made to usher in the new from the top to the bottom. You know, there's a greater work that we're all involved in, which is that kingdom shift. But in the midst of that is a storm that has to come. Just like everything we've read tonight, it's all about our positioning in that storm. And I thought about all the things the Lord's been bringing me to recently, which a lot of it has to do with the earthly kings, like King Saul, and what David had to go through. You know, it's a process. It's a process for each one of us. You know, and as we see, even Saul himself disobeyed the Lord, and he kept going, and he kept looking for insight. And in verse 28, it really talks about him seeking, where he turned totally away from the Lord because he couldn't hear properly from anybody else. He did something extremely wicked when he consulted the other side. You think about what's going on. What does the world say? Desperate times call for desperate measures. Well, the kingdom right now is at a desperate time. We're starting to see that come unraveled around us. What the Lord's doing is allowing it to run its course. You know, many are clamoring for that normal to come in, to move into the eye of the storm, only to find out the storm is on the other side of that eye. But the Lord is telling us to focus on him. Proverbs 10 tells us when the storm is over, there's nothing left of the wicked. Good people have a firm foundation, and they aren't fazed because they are standing in the storm. And there's a quote that I read this week from Winston Churchill. It says this: kites rise highest against the wind, not with it. I thought about that quote. I thought about every time I focus on the things of this world, the emotions of the storm drive me backwards or left or right. And I'm sure all of us on this call are the same. If you think about that quote, kites rise against the wind. You know, that's our position in him. As Wade said, it's a higher position. Think about that kite for a moment. When you don't have a kite right, it tends to go left, right. But the minute you get that tension right, that wind just pulls and lifts it up to higher and higher. That's where the Lord is positioning us. He's teaching us to ride above all of this chaos because of his greater plans and purposes. And Lana Vassar wrote this when she had a vision. She said, I could see doubt, fear, and insecurity. I could see grief, pain, weariness, and trauma. Many of people walked through from the previous season. I could see the fear of man among fear of change. I could see the past seasons and lore to hold on to it. All these things were attempting to take away their focus. But she said this, I understood that those who wanted to walk down this new path, it would require ferocious focus and obedience to the Lord. It would require silencing all other voices and determination to look to Yeshua alone, to follow him where he might lead, even if others were going a different direction, despite what they might think or say. You know, that is a laser focus. That is grabbing a hold of that kite string and focusing on him and allow the chaos of that wind just to lift you higher. And Paul Keith Davis said this, these will be the days of blood and fire, greater appreciation of the redemptive virtue of God's blood and fiery conflicts between good and evil will prevail in the coming days. Something truly noteworthy has been imparted in the spiritual DNA of this generation who qualify as overcomers. They are jealous for God in a militant way. That's us. We are the overcomers. The Lord is a warrior, and those who join him share in his warlike attributes. We become ministers of a flame of fire, and the angelic host assigned to co-labor with us. Winds that fuel that fire. That's our call. It's our call in the midst of the storm. Just like Job, he came through the storm and was restored even greater than his previous position. Each one of us have that assignment. And you know, it's all started with Yeshua. You know, as we prepare for communion, I just wanted to read something from Revelation 3 that really speaks to this refinement of the people. You know, the storm. In the midst of the storm, he's doing something. He counsels us to buy gold refined in his fire. that we may be clothed in his righteousness, his white garments, that the shame of the nakedness might be revealed. That is the world right now, when you think about it. And to anoint our eyes with salve only comes from him. That's that position of stepping into him. As many people come to him and repent, then this transformation comes. As we take these communion elements, I love this part where he says, he stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears his voice and opens that door, he comes in and sups with them or dines with them. That's what this communion is all about. It's joining together with Yeshua. You know, 10 of us just entered into that place with him as he was playing the strings of a harp, or heart, which are our hearts. And one of the things that we saw in the Spirit today was discord, which is what this world is right now. And yet, as always, he's the one that's providing this new pathway. He's the one that is making a way, just like he did before the foundation of the world. He's making a way in each of us to bring back unity, to bring back harmonious sound that ties us to him, the Father, the Holy Spirit. So as we take this communion, Lord, we just praise you and honor you. And we step into this place of your righteousness, for it is your great love, your great desire for the restoration of all things, Lord. May that frequency, that love, just be entwined in our very core. Lord, we praise you and honor you as we take these elements.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Matt. Thank you so very much. You know, we started out this evening with some testimonies, and the Lord had me a shift because Francis brought that word that she just had listened to. And I want to do a couple more testimonies, if you don't mind. If there's bound to be some things that the Lord has given you this week, even in the last 2 weeks, that would be a testimony to encourage those in the body. I don't get to call on this lady very often because she's not here very much because of her time and work and everything. Nadia, do you have a word or a testimony that you could share quickly?
I am thinking right now. There's always lots happening. Let me just let me go after someone and I'll come up with something.
Okay. I know you got a whole bunch that's happening up there. Sharon, I know that you had several things that the Lord was showing you. Have you got something you want to share tonight?
Yeah, I can definitely share that what the Lord has really been strongly on me with is really tuning your ear to his voice. And what he has said, he will bring to pass. And he said, this is a season that I am proving the saltiness of my church. And when we hear the Lord say something, we are to stand on that word, and we are not to cave in any way. We are to hold him to his word. like, you know, okay, we're going to make you accountable, Lord, because you said it. And my favorite saying is, no devil in hell will make my God a liar. So he's spoken a lot of things. He is bringing them to pass. They might not come to fruition the way we think that they should or that we would want them to. But I have a real quick little testimony here that the Lord had me reach out to a woman I used to go to church with, and Jen, and I was going through my phone cleaning it up and ran across a text that she had texted, and I was like, oh my gosh, and he said, call her and tell her, remind her who she is. And I knew she was in a relationship with a guy, and so I said, okay, so I called up and went to her voicemail, so I read off the word. It was fairly lengthy, and she called back within minutes and said, no way, oh my gosh, you have been on my mind. I keep thinking I need to call you, but I don't want to bug you because I know that your phone ministry, just, you know, you're always talking to people and praying for people, and I said, it's no bug, don't worry, I would not be bugged. She said, oh my gosh, she goes, I have just been the most hopeless place. And I listened to your recording and I remembered writing that, but I don't remember where it's at. But oh my gosh, do you understand the timing of this? And I said, I don't, but he does. And so by the end of the call, she had realized that she had even received demonic tongues, if you can go there. Because what the Lord had me do was just pray a few things, and then I said, okay, because her question was, can tongues be demonic? Can they worship Satan? And I said, well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can. And so she thought it was from the Lord, and he literally had me have her back up. She went on the roof this last summer to worship the Lord and praise him. And she said, he said to her, I want you to wish upon this star. I'm going to give you a shooting star. I want you to make a wish. I'm giving you a wish. And I'm like, whoa, that is not God. I mean, instantly it was like, no. So what he had her do, so she could know and understand how to, discern when you're being deceived. And I said, I want you to back up. I want you to back off the roof. I want you to come down the ladder, and I want you to stand beside that ladder in the spirit. Let me know when you're there. And she said, okay, I'm here. I said, are those footsteps his that you were following up there? And she said, no. I said, then that was not him. The enemy disguises himself. So we're in a season right now where it says even the very elect, if possible, may be deceived, and we do not want to be deceived. And so the order of the day is praise, but also in humility we are to walk. And so I just believe that the Lord is saying, I want you to stand on my word I've spoken, but not be puffed up and prideful. You know, God said this, and this is what it's going to be. Nope, just say, no, that's what the word of the Lord is, and I'm standing until I see it. I believe that's our call to arms right now, is we are to stand and arm ourselves with the full armor of God. Amen.
Praise God. That's really good. Linda Dietler, I'm calling on ladies. Linda, do you have a praise or a word to give tonight?
Well, I can praise the Lord every day for his goodness and his love. He is just so special to us, and we all know that. But, yes, I can share... we're rejoicing in what the Lord did this week. He just amazes us so much. This is a young lady in her early 30s that we hadn't seen since she was a baby. And because of what we've been teaching on, you know, cleaning house and stuff like this, it was just comical, Lord. But anyway, we got a call from her mother last week. And she said that her daughter was buying a house closing, and she wanted it prayed through before they moved in. And Mom said, well, I can't think of anybody better than Bruce and Linda. So I say that to say, if we just ooze the love of God out, even though it might be years later when there's a need, God will let them remember the love that we poured out. Anyway, it was such a blessing. We spent 2.5 hours praying through the house with this lady, and she was just in tears and just wants to get with us so much. And it reminded me of the prayer that was prayed for us a couple weeks ago on the call, which was a confirmation to a word the Lord had given us years ago that he was going to give us so many spiritual children. And she just kept saying, oh, I just need to get together with you again. I just need to get together with you again. And you know what? It's just one life. If we can touch one life, that is a humongous ministry to her, to the Lord. Blesses our heart. And he's just so good to us, and we just praise him and love him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nadia, has the Lord given you one of the many things that's happened lately?
One of the many things, yes. Yes, indeed. I was just thinking, which one, Lord? Because there's been so many. But I think the latest and the freshest one that I'll share with you guys is, I don't know if April's on this call.
Yes, she is.
April from Canada. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I don't know if she shared a little bit, but we had a strange encounter yesterday at the church where we had a witch come. And I'm learning so much from April, just the way that she can cover where the enemy is robbing us and come in and cancel curses and cancel assignments. And so just seeing her reaction and what she did after this lady came to our church, and it connected a few dots for me, and I realized that my business partner is under a curse. And so I called her today and got some better perspective. So he's got this lady that lives on his property, and she just had an uneasy feeling about her. She does this holistic healing with tuning forks, and red flags went off, but you know, didn't connect a whole lot of things. But she offered to do some, you know, a healing session for him, and he just, during the session, he didn't feel good at all. And so afterwards, this is months later, he continues to have a series of bad events happen on the property, financial loss, construction issues. And we realize, you know, he's a Christian. He should not be under this curse. And so today, a lot of these dots connected for me, and I called April, got her perspective on what's going on here. But it was, you know, really the Holy Spirit that led me to call him, pray over him, rebuke the curse, set up the host to guard on his property and seal this whole thing. So again, where the enemy was intending to cause harm, sending this lady, God takes this and turns it around for good.
Glory.
So that is that's the God we serve. Those are the promises that we get to live in. You know, where we thought something was bad and the enemy had some evil, God takes it, connects the dots. We just released, you know, a family from a curse that continued to happen for them for months and months. So
wow.
That is my testimony for today. And there's
yes.
Much more. There's so many things God has been doing.
You know, for those of you that don't know Nadia, because she hasn't really spoken to us here, she is part of the prophetic ministry at the church that Stephen and Greg and Howard are the primary pastors. And we also pray with her and that team on Wednesdays when she can be there. She works, and her husband have a business, but she's on there many, many times. And just like April joining us, it's a blessing that we go back and forth together and pray, and it just deepens our love for the Lord and each other and understanding and seeing what he's doing and how he's moving. And, you know, our call is totally different than the Canadian call. The Canadian call is primarily prayer, where we do a teaching, an exhortation, a word of what the prophets are doing. And the Lord's told us that we're going to keep that format. We looked at it and said, okay, we'll have Wednesdays for the prayer and Mondays for the combination as a church type service. And we'll see how the Lord does that. So combining our families, the North and South, the Lord has opened a whole new parameter of spectrums. And we've gone into the Seven Mountain Takeover. We've gone into categories that I wasn't particularly ready to go into, but the Lord says had called them into, so we went. And we've had some breakthrough and seen some mighty things, and there's going to be a whole lot more that God's doing. So, Nadia and April, I thank you so much for being here tonight. You represent our family up there because the rest of the family, Stephen's traveling, and he's still with Derek. Greg has got a business call. And I'm not sure what Howard is. We couldn't touch base. I don't know what about him, but he couldn't be here tonight either. So I appreciate you being here. I'm going to call just on two men. And Mel, you got a neat testimony if you want to give it about your daughter or anything else. Do you have a testimony or word or praise that you would like to give tonight, Mr. Newsom?
Well, I just... my testimony would be that recently several members of my family came down with COVID, my daughter being one of them, and she was pretty sick with it, and both of her children. And you guys prayed for her on the call, and she just, you know, a few days later, she just came out of it. I mean, just, and she was really pretty sick, and just a few days later she came out. So your prayers were answered, and I thank you so much for it. And the children were fine, too. They came out of it, too. So we're grateful. And I have a little prayer that I'd like to do, and it's basically to thank and glorify our Lord for what he has all done for us and for the sacrifices that he made for the cross. He defeated that evil one, but we haven't learned how to deal with it. But we're working on it, and we're trying. As a group together, we work on it on these Monday night calls. And we've learned that we have to rise above all of the earthly mess that we have to deal with down here. Like Matt referred to, rise above it like a kite. And help us, Lord, to stay focused so that we can be lifted by you to do what we are destined to do in this coming time, in the times that we're in now. We need to stay focused so much with you and on you and learn from you. So lead us in the right direction, because you are the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Governor Carpenter, Jim, do you have a word, a praise, a testimony that you'd like to give? And then I would like for you to close us.
Thank you, Wade. What an unexpected privilege. You know, my friend, as we've got to know each other, we realize that our lives are running so many parallel directions. And in the last 25, 30 years, I've learned a lot because I went and I asked and I begged the Lord to show me more Him. And in that learning process, it's kind of like going to the gym. You know, if you're a bodybuilder, you don't go out and bench press 450, 500 pounds the first day unless you're a pretty big man. The average person can't do that. They'd have to build up to it. And that's what the Lord's doing, and I confer with the other people that have spoken earlier, that the Lord is in the bodybuilding process. That's his business. And he's building our knowledge, our relationship, our realizing, as a previous gentleman said, God accomplished it. We have to figure out how it's intended to be implemented. And that's our challenge as individuals as we learn that process. So I stand with praise in my heart to see the events going on around us, to see the challenges that are presenting itself to the people, to see the weeding out and the rising up of the valor, the men and women of valor representing our Heavenly Father. Does it come with pain and hardship? Does it come with challenges? You bet it does. But that's part of learning how to accept the responsibility and to deal with the tasks that the Lord has set before us. And I know one thing about my God, that he won't ask me to do anything that I'm not capable of doing through him who strengthens me. So in closing, let's go to our Father in heaven. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for sending your son, that we can be adopted into your family, that we can be made part of your bloodline, that we can be included in the Abrahamic covenant, that we can be victorious men and women. And when other people see us and touch our spirit, they'll know that they've touched the face of God. But what a purification process that puts us through. Thank you for it, because you only do it because you love us. And we know that we're in a day such as Noah was in. Thank you, Lord, that we're included in your number. You know what we need to achieve the task ahead of us. It's your time and your convenience. We ask, Lord, that you release those. You give us the victory so that we can proceed to reach our target, which is bringing the light to a dark world. In all things, you're praised, it is written. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I am going to turn off the recording, but I want to talk to everybody for just a moment more, so please stay on the line. Blessings to all. May the Lord richly guard you, protect you, and give you peace. And good night.